Good morning there again. Brian of London here in the forest in Tel Aviv. And I'm also going to put this one live on my Telegram. Hello there. Yeah, so I've just come off one Periscope, but this is a totally different subject. So I'm not going to mix these up with my court case. So flip back, you can see the last one that was on the JPV Liberty case. Now I'm going to talk about a bit about Tommy Robinson and my friend Kay Wilson, Kish Kush K on Twitter. So first of all, Tommy Robinson. Yesterday I was kind of tied up because I was doing some media work, but I was watching the tweet streams, Ezra, Andrew Lawton, the others, and Joshua Rosenberg. Thank you very much, the inestimable Joshua Rosenberg, who is, let me tell you a little bit. So Joshua Rosenberg is, he's a esteemed lawyer, barrister, I don't know. Sorry, Joshua, I don't know the ins and outs of which level of the law you are, but I know you because you do a program on radio. He does a program on Radio 4 called, on BBC Radio 4 called Law in Action, and it is a fantastic BBC production. It's half an hour, I don't know, six shows, and in different seasons. They just finished actually the run, but they're always fascinating to me because I love listening to legal stuff. So, and Joshua Rosenberg, it's no secret, he's married to Melanie Phillips. And they're a great power couple, and he's in court, he's in the Tommy Robinson court case tweeting about it, and you know, I'm not to say that Ezra's getting anything wrong substantially or whatever, but Ezra's a partisan, Ezra's clearly partisan, Joshua is not, and I think he's being very fair. He's presenting the facts as they should be presented. There's not a great deal of difference between what he says and Ezra, but Ezra puts a bit more commentary in. So that's, but it's very, 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 very good that there is somebody, and he's not of the BBC, but he does have a show on the BBC, but I trust him, okay? And on the law, he does his homework. So good on Joshua for being there in the court, and I'll be very interested to hear his opinion when it's done, because at the moment he's doing exactly what he should be doing, which is he is reporting the things that are said in court in a way that is easy to understand. I've got a Twitter list which I shared out yesterday, and I'll share the list out again today. It's my list of interesting people who are saying good things about, and it's got Ezra and Andrew and Joshua and Jessica. So it's a good list to follow because, you know, there'll be some repetition, but you'll see all the tweets. What do I don't know about the case. What do I know? I mean, to me, my opinion so far is that the entire premise of the case of what Tommy is being put through is ridiculous, and not just ridiculous, dangerous. It's dangerous for society. It's dangerous it's dangerous for journalism. It's dangerous for the nation because they seem to be trying to make illegal something which has gone on for years, which is confronting suspected wrongdoers on their way into court and seeing how they react. And we actually learned something from the way they reacted, which is very, very important. All the three defendants that Tommy did confront that day reacted with sexual insults against Tommy's family. And these men went on then to be found guilty of raping children. But their go-to, they didn't insult him. They didn't swear at him. No, they all said disgusting and vile sexual things about his mother or other members of his family. We learned something. There is journalism in that. It shows what's going on inside these people's heads. This is part of the problem, that nobody's doing that journalism. And so we learned something that no other journalist would ever have got to, because they weren't doing what journalists should be doing. And as you can see, you can learn something about Tommy's state of mind when the BBC sticks a camera in his face and interviews him on the way into court. That's journalism. And what you learn is that Tommy gets to say back to the BBC that they're liars, because the BBC don't know the facts of the case. This is the standard BBC, not Joshua. This is the standard, you know, when he went into the earlier hearing, and this is the video that he's played in the court over and over, she assumed he was there because he was accused of potentially causing a miscarriage of justice. They threw out those charges 6 months ago. Those charges disappeared from the charge sheet. There is no way on earth, after his appeal and after the first aborted attempt, when the judge decided that he just was not senior enough to hear the case, all accusations that he could have caused the trial to collapse have gone. But yet the BBC still throws that to Tommy outside the court case because they're not doing basic journalism anymore. They are activists. And because they are activists, they are not applying the same standards to Muslim rape suspects who sit on bail for 2 years in the communities in which they committed their crimes, mixing with children, running the same businesses in which crimes were committed. And no journalist ever bothers them for 2 years. And Tommy is accused, by pointing that out, he is accused of inciting others to go and harass Muslim rapists on bail for crimes. That's the accusation. That's the most dangerous accusation that the state has. Did anybody actually do this? Did anybody take action? No, the state provides no evidence that anyone actually did it. Their only accusation is that they might have. So it's not even an action of Tommy's, it's that he might incite others to do an action that nobody actually did. This is the flimsiest case, and it is the closest thing to a thought crime. That it is a totally Orwellian, it is a Kafkaesque situation to be trying a man on those grounds. Because and the other crime that he is alleged to have committed, of causing distress to people such that they couldn't take part in their own crime. I mean, go look at the Rolf Harris case. Go look at what they did to Cliff Richard. Wasn't even accused of a crime. He wasn't even charged with a crime. But the BBC had helicopters flying above his house. And of course, they've been published in the civil courts, but nobody stands to go to prison for what happened to Cliff Richards. Nobody's going to prison for what happened to Rolf Harris. Now, Rolf Harris was accused, convicted. I mean, I don't have any time for the man. I mean, it's horrible. But he got the correct treatment, and these bloody Muslim pedo gangs should be getting that treatment at every case. Why are all the cases disproportionately, the cases of Muslim paedophile gangs are covered by unbelievably tough reporting restrictions? Why? That is the single issue Tommy was raising by being outside that court. And the only thing that's come out of this is that everybody is talking about this. But even then, the government is just desperate to get any conviction. They want a conviction, even if it carries a £5 fine, because a conviction triggers the earlier suspended sentence of 3 months. That enables them to say that he served half of a 3-month sentence. Bye-bye, no claim for damages, no claim for wrongful imprisonment, no claim for being starved, no claim for coming out looking for like a concentration camp victim. And I'm going to say concentration camp victim because I'm a damn Jew, I'm in Israel, I'm in the forest in Tel Aviv. I can say that Tommy came out of there looking like he'd been starved by the Nazis. The British justice system put the man in a solitary confinement and didn't give him enough food because he was scared his food would kill him. This is torture. This is the International Human Rights Court should be up in arms over torture of a British citizen in a British prison. But no. They're worried about, you know, AOC is worried about people drinking out of a silver sink on top of a toilet. That's apparently a concentration camp. Jesus, the world is messed up. Anyway, that's Tommy's case. And I'm going to mix this in because yesterday I attended an amazing event that we held for my friend Kay Wilson, whose book, The Rage Less Traveled. And I'll tie these together because it's no secret now. Kay Wilson was our tour guide when Tommy was in Israel, somewhat secretly at the time because, you know, it's just so controversial. But Kay's written this amazing book about the time she was attacked, hacked 13 times with a machete, got up, walked, bound and gagged out of the forest, got rescued, and then faced her would-be murderers in court. And her book about the recovery and going through PTSD, The Rage Less Traveled. So it was a funny thing. I left Andrew's place yesterday and I got in the car and I turned on LBC for some reason, streaming in the car. And as I turn it on, I hear the presenter is saying, "We're talking about, have you suffered PTSD following being involved in a terrorist attack?" Because they were talking about the London Bridge attacks and something like 400 people at least, the doctor says, have untreated PTSD. And this is actually a really serious issue. So, and then I hear the host on LBC, the host is like filling time because he's got no calls. And you can hear that because he's reading tweets. If the host on LBC is reading tweets, you know he does not have a full switchboard of calls. So I immediately, you know, close the radio and I jump on the phone. I say, KKK, you gotta get on the phone, get the number, call LBC. So I dump the call with K and I go back to listen to LBC. And the host is still filling in, talking about the time he was poor, I think, for a few months, and that caused him emotional PTSD or whatever. But basically, the host didn't have a good call to go to. So I wait another 2 minutes, and then I hear, "And now we're speaking to Kay in pause." That means I know it's my Kay, because then the guy's like looking at a sheet of paper that says Renana Israel. Nobody can pronounce Renana when it's written on a piece of paper. So it's Kay and Renana, and then I hear Kay's voice. And Kay will dig out this clip later. I need to find it. I haven't had a moment to myself since this happened. So Kay comes on, and she kicks off the call. And if you don't know Kay or haven't seen her speak, she used to give this long, detailed description of being hacked 13 times with a machete whilst watching her friend be murdered in front of her eyes. It's terrible. The description is just too horrific. It's a whole chapter in a book, but it is a chapter. It's like, it's bounded. And she's moved on from that now. And the book is very important because the book describes what came after that, with the recovery, going through PTSD, the therapy, the how they caught them, facing them in court, what goes on afterwards, and how to this day these men have been paid 70,000 British pounds each as a salary in the eight years since the attack. That's the salary that the Palestinian Authority pays them while they're in prison, which they then give to their relatives outside. It was a retirement plan. That was their exit plan, as we say in startup world. Their exit plan was go kill some Jews and get some money. And the money they get from the Palestinian Authority, it's actually linked to their sentence. The longer the sentence, the more money they get. So in effect, the more Jews they kill, the more people they murder, the more money they get. And this money comes from foreign governments who give aid to the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Authority, and then there's this magic word called fungible. So all money is fungible. Like a dollar, if I give you $100 and you tell me it's going to be spent on orphans and widows, but you actually spend it on paying terrorists, there's nothing I can do about that. Nobody audits the Palestinian Authority. They're just a bottomless bucket. Yes, and Trump stopped the money, but the EU is still paying the money. Anyway, Kay gets on the radio. She tells her story, and the host was just like, he doesn't know how to react because nobody knows how to react. And Kay spoke so brilliantly, and she said, "Look, I went through cognitive behavioral therapy. It really helped me." Because Kay, it's all in the book. You have to read the description. She was afraid of trees. She was terrified of trees. So the first thing she had to do was she had to get used to a tree. So it's in the book. And what happened, the therapist says to her, "What you need to do is go and confront a tree." I'm not even joking. And it's like, it sounds funny and it sounds like a joking matter, but it isn't. So she goes with a friend who's in the army, who's like a colonel, with an M16. So she doesn't go to a forest. She goes to a town called Modi'in, where she was staying. And there are trees by the sidewalk. And so she gets up close with a tree and she looks at the tree for 30 seconds. with her friend, who is a colonel in the IDF with an M16 slung on his back to guard her in the middle of a busy street outside a coffee place with a tree. But this is real. And the book, her book, The Rage Less Travels, it explains PTSD to someone. I don't have any reason to have PTSD, okay? I've had bad things happen to me. I cannot claim to have PTSD. Tommy has PTSD for guaranteed sure. The prison sentences he has, the attacks he suffered, the physical attacks, the mental attacks, the isolation, that gives you PTSD. Kay has PTSD. Anybody who was on London Bridge and who watched that attack, you have PTSD. It will affect you in different ways, but the entire industry of psychology and psychiatry are not bad. They are real, and they do some very valuable work. Part of Kay's therapy was, like, 8 weeks after the attack, or 6 weeks after the attack, she was told to write a description of the attack. And that description became the chapter in her book. And the rest of the book is written in time. She wrote it as she was recovering. And the book is very clear how it's in the present tense. It's a brilliant book. Anyway, we held this big event at a synagogue last night. A great organization called Ezra put together the whole thing. They sold 300 tickets, then they sold 60 more tickets, and then they said we'll use the balcony upstairs and anybody could come, and it was packed. Richard Kemp, Colonel Richard Kemp, commander of British Armed Forces Afghanistan, okay? The top guy who ran the army in Afghanistan for a number of years. Senior guy, worked at the highest levels in the Cobra, with the intelligence people, ran squads in Northern Ireland. He came to introduce Kay. And he introduces her by saying what's basically written on the back of the book, which is that he's been in war zones all over the world. The bravest person he knows in the world is Kay Wilson. And it's not a joke, and it's not just like empty words. He stands there in front of this thing, and he gives a great presentation. He's a wonderful speaker. And he spoke a bit about Brexit and Trump and Corbyn and Boris and all of that stuff. And he's a very, very entertaining and good speaker. He actually proposed that the IDF should be in line for a Nobel Peace Prize, which I think would be... I really think the IDF should be in line for a Nobel Peace Prize. And he was obviously a draw. People came to hear him, but hundreds of people left with Kay's book, which is a fantastic success. And she was really pumped after talking on LBC, and she made a big impression. And when we get that clip and play it later, it's going to go well on social media. Anyway, so that's the other stuff I've been busy with. PTSD is real. Get The Rage Less Traveled. I'm going to make sure that Tommy actually reads it, because I think he'll benefit from it, because I think he'll learn something from the way she has coped with her PTSD. And there will be good things that come. Anyway, Tommy's in court later today for the conclusion and hopefully a verdict today. We'll see what happens. I wish him all the best. Obviously, he's, my friend. Avi's with him. It's incredible to watch those scenes. It's getting really busy here. A whole bunch of kids have joined us. They're all eating little ice creams. It's hot. I've been periscoping for almost an hour, I think. My throat is gone. I'm through my cold coffee. Anyway, I'm Brian of London. This is The Forest in Tel Aviv. If you like what I do, check out brianoflondon.me. Donate on Fundition. If you want to chip into our lawsuit for $500 billion that we're suing Google, Facebook and Twitter for in Australia, $500 billion, $500 billion, check out those other periscopes, learn about the case, and Shabbat Shalom, and have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.